thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder.
Alexander Zeldman is our guest. He's the managing editor over at Decider.com. Alexander, we've not been able to speak to you the last couple of weeks. Everything good?
Everything's going great. You guys were at a baseball game and things. Sounds exciting.
Yeah, it was very exciting. It was very exciting. Speaking of exciting, I love television. We all love television, but it's hardly ever as riveting as TV was yesterday there in the as we were hearing testimony from a judge and from a doctor. What does the rest of television learn from that? What can they do to make it as exciting as real life was yesterday?
I mean, I don't know if there necessarily are any lessons to take from that. You know, something that we were talking about a little bit in the office and that I felt is we've had, and not to get too preachy, but we've had this slide where the line between politics and entertainment has narrowed so that entertainment outlets are covering these things as if it is an entertainment program, as if the Dr. Ford hearings are exactly the same thing as the premiere of Grey's Anatomy. And it's not. You know, this is a woman's real pain on display. This is the future of the country. And I think ultimately anybody who is looking at that and trying to make think, how can we, you know, get people live tweeting about it? I think they're taking the wrong lessons away, honestly.
Yep, true.
And if anything, something that I see people responding to in a very specific way, in a similar way to how they're responding to things politically 2 years ago, is they're looking for comforting things, things that offer a little bit of hope. You know, I saw a lot of people, and I did this as well, were tweeting about the Good Place premiere last night, because that's something that takes place in a complete fantasy world and posits an idea of what if we all were worked together to make things better. And that's the sort of thing that I think people want to see as a response, not something that I don't even know how you would make a more sensationalized version of what happened yesterday, to be frank.
To give you even more credence about the blurred lines between politics and you know, scripted television, so many shows that deal with either politics or a president are now stepping back going, what do we do to top what's really going on in real life? We don't know how to do that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, to talk about another premiere that came on last night, Murphy Brown came back after a really long break. And again, something that I was really wondering about going into this, they've talked about how they want to make it topical, but they're also filming it weeks, if not months in advance, and writing very far in advance of things. And things are changing not just by the day, but by the hour, by the minute at this point. So how do you create something fictionalized? And unfortunately, they had a really fun cameo on Murphy Brown. They had Hillary Clinton showed up auditioning to be Murphy Brown's secretary on the show.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It was very funny. But
and that's the running joke from the old days of Murphy Brown, is you always had celebrity guest stars playing that role. That's very funny that they'd do that.
Yeah, and it's great, and it's a great bit, but I didn't see anybody talking about it last night based on everything that was happening in the real world. So for better or for worse, in days where a Hillary Clinton's winking cameo where she talks about, well, I've had problems with emails in the past while she is interviewing for a job, very hilarious, very self-aware. Barely anybody wrote about it. Barely anybody talked about this morning because of everything that is going on, because everything is so big in the real world. I guess the short version is people are still figuring out how to make that shift, and I don't think we're quite there yet.
All right. Well, the fact that Big Brother's finale happened and that's over with, I found myself in a TV glut, so I've been trying to fill it up with things. I do love The Voice that started for the new season. And has anyone, I guess I'm asking Bill right now, Jim Carrey's new show, Kidding, have you seen that on Showtime?
I've not seen it.
I love it.
Is it good? Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't checked it out, Michelle Gondry, who did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind with Jim Carrey, is one of the guys behind it. It's very whimsical like that. It's a fictionalized version of a Mr. Rogers type character who suffered a devastating loss about, I think, a year before he picked up in the first episode, and how he deals with that, how he deals with being a real person, but also being somebody who has to talk to children and inspire them every single day. And as you can imagine, some cracks start to show.
I'm just one episode in. Conan O'Brien was featured on the first one. I really love it. I really do.
Jim Carrey is great on it. His performance is, I was a little worried that it would be over the top, but he really does nail children's host very, very well. The puppets are fun. The songs are very good.
It's really good. Bill, you love it.
You had me at the puppets are good. As soon as you said that, I went, I got to start watching the show.
And Danny Trejo makes a great appearance and is a big fan of ukulele. Let's just leave it at that.
Alex, I didn't mean to watch this, but the other day it just happened to be on and I couldn't stop watching it. I was surprised at how good New Amsterdam was. What'd you think of it?
We are split here at the office. We like to talk about it a whole lot because, and for those of you who haven't watched the show, it's a new hospital drama set in a fictionalized version of a hospital here in New York, which is, they describe as almost its own city. So it has the hospital, but it also has living quarters. It has its own prison, which is an opportunity for a lot of different stories that they can tell. A new director played by Ryan Eggold from The Blacklist comes in and revamps the whole hospital, immediately fires the entire cardiac unit, challenges people to be better, challenges people to practice real medicine. It's the sort of thing that I think is really crowd-pleasing. To be honest, it's not exactly my cup of tea, but one of my other writers, Josh Sarakatch, really enjoyed how pointed it was, and particularly Ryan Eggold's performance.
It's incredibly contrived. I mean, it's a hospital that could only exist as a television show, but I was okay with that. I bought into that. And I thought I saw one of the guys from 30-something, Peter Horton, play a little role in it. Is that possible?
I believe he might be. There's also Freema Agamon, who most people probably know from her time on Doctor Who as one of the Doctor's companions, shows up.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see what she does because she's a great actress and she's only in the first episode a little bit. My favorite bit, though, for fans of old school ER, is that Ryan Eggold perfectly channels George Clooney's head shaking in a hospital vibe.
Yes.
Which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
I got to watch that.
I think you'd love it. I mean, like I said, it's so contrived, and you go, well, that would never happen in a hospital. And they've done this thing where they show you one by one by one by one all the problems each of the characters has. You know, it was textbook script writing. You know, here's a guy you think is flawless. Oh, wait a minute, he's got this going. There was a lot of that kind of thing.
I gotta see that.
But I don't know, somehow it worked. Wendy and I both sampled Manifest, by the way, the other night.
I loved
it. This is the time travel, the airplane that gets lost for 5 years. What do you think of that one?
Same sort of thing, where it's definitely like, if you're a fan of Lost, it's very clearly going for that. My feeling, I don't know if you remember, right after Lost hit big, there were a ton of TV shows that tried to ape the format.
Sure.
And be a little like it. It definitely feels like if it had come out then, I would not have been surprised. But the cast is really strong. You got Melissa Roxburgh in it, Josh Dallas from Once Upon a Time, Athena Karkanis, and a few other recognizable faces in there. It definitely has the weird mysteries going. With a lot of these shows, I feel like it depends on how much they drag out their mysteries versus how much they start revealing the information. And as long as they start revealing a lot more information starting with the second episode, I think it'll be good to go.
Yep, absolutely. Alexander Zalbin is our guest, managing editor of Decider.com, a great website if you're a fan of television or entertainment. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill, it's Wendy, and we're speaking with Alexander Zalbin, managing editor of Decider.com. Alexander, seeing promos for Saturday Night Live, can't wait for the premiere. I'm like, when are they going to show who's really going to be on? The hosts for the premiere, Kanye West and Adam Driver, and I thought it was a rerun because it seems like Adam Driver was just on.
No, it's really being hosted by Adam Driver in the return. The musical guest is Kanye. The interesting bit that came out today was originally it was actually supposed to be Ariana Grande, but as people may or may not know, there's a lot of life stuff that she's going through right now, and because of that, she did not feel emotionally ready to go and be the musical guest on the show, so Kanye jumped in to take the lead there.
Life stuff meaning getting married and... Well, I don't know what.
Well, she's getting married, but also her ex-boyfriend, Mac Murray. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, so she decided to opt out.
That was a good move.
All right, a couple questions. Question number one, the Kavanaugh story is the biggest story going on in the country right now, so it needs to be addressed on Saturday Night Live. But how do you make fun of this, of a woman being sexually molested, essentially, if that happened? How do you, if you're Saturday Night Live, how do you address that?
This is a frequent refrain that I saw on Twitter yesterday, you know, where people were armchair quarterbacking the Saturday Night Live premiere and trying to decide how they should handle it and saying, oh, it'd be great if this happened, great if this happened. Oh, they got to get Mark McKinney to play Kavanaugh. They got to get Bob Odenkirk to play Kavanaugh. But as you said, any of it feels very grim. Personally, I would say you almost avoid Ford completely because that is too hot button of a topic. Yeah. And instead, concentrate on Kavanaugh. He spent an hour-ish, you know, yelling at people and interrupting people.
And it's the I like beer broader. Is going to come up, I bet. Mm-hmm. I like beer. Mm-hmm. I like beer.
Exactly. Yeah, so you could do that. You could also, Alec Baldwin is definitely coming back as Trump, so certainly you could do avoid the hearings entirely and instead have somebody as Kavanaugh interacting with Trump. I think there are ways around it, but I do think the thing that they really need to be careful about is avoiding Ford as much as possible.
Maybe you'll see a joke or two during Weekend Update. Maybe you won't see a scene play out because that would be really, I mean,
it's
I know they want to be cutting
it's
edge.
It's so sensitive
but, yeah,
right now.
It's tough.
I mean, next week maybe, but I feel like it's so such a sensitive topic on both sides.
Yeah. Adam Driver's a strange choice to be the host for the first show of the year. Normally, whoever's the host of the very first show is like a total A-lister with something huge coming up. Why do you think they went with Adam Driver?
Well, first of all, he's a surprisingly good host.
He was great.
Back when he was on before, he was fantastic. It's possible it might tie in, too. He was just in Black Klansman from Spike Lee,
right.
And he got a lot of really good notice for that. So it's possible it might be a rev up to an Oscar campaign to keep him kind of in the eye there. He also has The Man Who Killed Don Quixote is coming out. But again, I think it probably just comes back to they like him and they wanted somebody who was a big star to come back for the premiere.
And only one cast change, right, from last year, I think?
There's been a bunch of behind-the-scenes changes. I believe, I'm forgetting
Luke
her name.
Null is gone.
Oh,
one of the featured players. He's no longer
Null
there.
Null and Void.
Null and Void. Very, very nice. And yeah, there's a new woman has been added, but her name escapes me as well. And that's,
yeah.
I think that's the only thing on screen we're going to see different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, behind the scenes, there's been a bunch of changes. Colin Jost and Michael Che, as well as a third guy, are now head writers on the show. So that should potentially change the tone of the show a little bit.
No we'll Piscopo, though, right? No Piscopo?
He's back.
He's back.
In a
all
big
right.
way, hosting
that's
every
news.
Show.
Good.
Yeah,
that's good for America. Alex, great to talk to you. Thank you so much. We look forward to this again next week.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
It's Alexander Zalbin. He is the managing editor of Decider.com. Visit it. It's right there on your internet. We'll take a quick break and then some news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.